everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. Just got off the phone with a reporter from the Arizona Daily Star. Must have seen my posts about the big storm up at our... We were kind of at the epicenter of what happened yesterday. And as I told the reporter, I am simply in awe of what happened at 4:30 up around Swan and River, our area, where we had wind gusts, we're guessing at about 80 miles an hour. I guess the airport had a gust of 65, but we were kind of right at the center of this thing. Up to 3 inches of rain in 45 minutes, hail that stayed on the ground for 3 hours, temperature dropping from 113 to 67 degrees. I mean, it was something. 35 years here in town and never seen a storm like that. We're lucky, though, because two streets over, the roof was completely peeled off one of our neighbors, somebody in the neighborhood. Anyway, quite an afternoon, to say the least. It's Tuesday, July the 18th, 2023. John is on the other side of the glass. John didn't get hardly any rain. He got a little wind, yeah, a little bit. But it's so typical. Depends where you are when our summer thunderstorms come through the area. Boy, I can't wait tomorrow to talk to our UA climate scientist, Dr. Zach Guido. Buckmaster, we are 12 and a half years into the radio project. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, the radio station 1030 KVOI, Tucson's source for trusted news and talk worldwide, live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. The live line for our telephone interviews, we'll be doing a couple of those phone interviews, including our lead interview today, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to Dr. George Hammond, an old friend of the show, director and research professor, Economic and Business Research Center, the Eller College of Management at the University of Arizona. Dr. Hammond, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. How are you?
Doing pretty well. Were you in town for the big storm, or maybe it didn't hit your area?
Yeah, we got some hail out where I live, and I think it cracked a skylight of mine. So I've got some work to do on the house.
Yeah, well, I've got a friend who said that the hail up by Swan and Sunrise literally took the paint off her car. So it was something else. How is the Arizona economy doing? Is it doing pretty well here at the midway point?
Overall, the Arizona economy is doing quite well. Arizona has replaced added more jobs compared to where we were before the pandemic began. And in fact, Arizona is back on its prior trend, if we measure that trend based on the forecast that we were producing before the pandemic began.
Yeah, so here we are mid-year. Of course, the fiscal year starts July 1st for a lot of the governmental agencies. But are you, looking back 6 months ago when we talked about your prediction for 2023, would you say we're about where you thought we would be, Dr. Hammond?
Yeah, for Arizona and Tucson, I think we're about where we expected to be at this time of 2023. Tucson has also replaced all of the jobs that we lost during the early days of the pandemic. But in contrast to the state, Tucson jobs are still quite a bit below their prior trend. So, you know, Tucson is growing and improving, but we've still got work to do.
This labor market, everywhere you go, Dr. Hammond, it seems like the business has a sign, we're hiring.
Yeah, absolutely. Unemployment rates are extremely low across the state, near record lows. In May, Tucson's unemployment rate was 3.4%. That was below the U.S. at 3.7%. So, the labor markets are really tight. That means that employers are really struggling to hire. And it means that, workers have a lot of options to explore in the labor market right now.
We're going to be talking more about this at 12:30 with Hank Amos of Tucson Realty and Trust. But what is your take on the falling home prices? Have the prices stabilized somewhat in Phoenix and Tucson?
Yeah, it looks like they have. The data that we look at as far as median home prices in Phoenix and Tucson have actually risen over the past couple of months. You know, Tucson's median home price is actually hitting new highs. So, you know, the real estate markets seem to be stabilizing, but, you know, that means that housing affordability remains really low.
Nationally, housing affordability is where, and what would you say it is where we live?
Well, according to data that we track from the NAHB Wells Fargo, roughly 45.6% of homes sold in the first quarter of this year were affordable to a family making the median income. Now, Tucson's right around there at 46.8%. Phoenix is well below still at 34.3%. The thing you want to keep in mind is that housing affordability is massively down from where we were before the pandemic began. And just to give you an example, in the last quarter of 2019, 71.2% of the homes sold in Tucson were affordable to a family making the median, compared to about 47% now.
Inflation has stuck around in some parts, certainly of the Phoenix, up in the Valley of the Sun. How about for Tucson, Dr. Hammond?
I think Tucson is experiencing probably a very similar inflation trend to what we're seeing in Phoenix. You know, Phoenix inflation was 4% over the year in June, a bit above the nation at 3%. Core inflation was actually above the headline number at 5.9% in Phoenix, at 4.8% for the nation. So, you know, inflation is still way above the Federal Reserve's target, and it's still really impacting consumer purchasing power across the nation and here in Arizona.
If the U.S. avoids a recession, and I hope that will be the case in the next couple of years, how is Tucson positioned, Dr. Hammond?
Yeah, it looks increasingly like the U.S. Will avoid a recession in the next couple of years. That really sets the stage for Arizona, Phoenix, and Tucson to continue growing. I think we'll see solid to good job growth across the state and in Tucson this year. Probably a little bit slower next year, but, overall pretty good results.
The jobs are out there, specifically, boy, healthcare jobs, those are really going for begging right now.
Yes, I think we'll see strong growth in healthcare jobs, and that employment in that sector has really been lagging locally through the pandemic. I think we'll also see, call center jobs, engineering, computer science jobs pick up some steam. And travel and tourism, that will continue to recover. And I think Tucson is really well positioned, as is Arizona, to add significant numbers of high-paying manufacturing jobs.
What about more information? What, where would you suggest? I know you've got a great website.
Yes, we have a great website at azeconomy.org, and people can find out a lot more about Tucson on mapaz-board.arizona.edu.
So bottom line, you're pretty bullish.
Absolutely. Things are actually looking pretty strong as we pass the mid-year point.
All right. We'll check in with you as the months go by. Dr. George Hammond, thank you, sir.
Sounds great. Thanks, Bill.
Dr. George Hammond is director and research professor, Economic and Business Research Center at the Eller College of Management at the University of Arizona. We're going to talk more economic information, financial stuff with our guy, Shelley Fishman, who is very enthusiastic today. Not that he's always enthusiastic, but especially when you get a two thumbs up, that's a good sign. Market's showing pretty good strength. Be right back with Shelley.
Family
family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006. And the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And here he is, Mr. Shelley Fishman. Shelley, how is your week going so far? I know we're early into the week, but, you know.
Week is going so far really well. Today is going especially well for the markets. We have very positive. All the indices are up about 1%. Bonds are up. There's green all over my screen here.
We like green.
We do like green, and especially on a Tuesday.
Are we getting close to some record highs?
We are getting perilously close to some record highs. Record highs in most markets were set around January of 22. Okay. And we are on the Dow, we're within about 150 points of the all-time high. In the Nasdaq, it's a little bit further away as a percentage. But what's happening here is that the investor community is seeing the stuff that Dr. Hammond was talking about. They're seeing very good forecasts for profits. They're seeing the American consumer. In fact, there was something that just came out the other day. Right now, consumer index, the sentiment index, has now risen more higher in the past month than at any point since September of 2021.
Mm.
And this is an interesting statistic because, as we know, statistics can you know be made to say anything you'd like to say. Wages have now risen faster than inflation for four straight months.
Wow.
So what we're seeing is that the savings that Americans have, especially Americans in the lower 50% of earnings, those savings have actually risen into the pandemic because of some of the stimulus that was made available. And what consumers are doing now is continuing to spend off that money. But when you take a look at graphs in each quartile of earners, they're stable. So that it's look, the information that we're getting on some of these statistics is confusing at best, because you know, you also take a look at, for instance, credit card debt, and that seems to have risen, though it's coming down a little bit. We hear what, for instance, Dr. Hammond was saying about the fact that housing prices have recovered to the point where they're at about the highest they were a year and a half ago. That means that rents are also pretty high. Mm-hmm. So depending upon you where you are in the earnings spectrum, you're either doing real fine or you're still suffering from the word that most people are most afraid of, and that's inflation.
Mm-hmm.
And so that brings us to the question that is so important, which is what's the Fed going to do next week? So we know that in the last Fed meeting, they decided to halt their rises in short-term interest rates and take a look at what the statistics were going to say over the ensuing month. The Fed Open Market Committee will meet next week. What the market is expecting is that the Fed will continue to pause.
Really? Another pause? Two straight months.
Pause. Wow. That there's one increase left this year.
Okay.
And that the market, I think, is saying it ain't going to be in July.
Mm.
Now, I'm not so certain about that. I don't want to predict that.
Mm-hmm.
But we also had two inflation numbers that came out last week. On Thursday, it was the regular inflation, the number that was retail inflation, and that number was down to 3% on an annualized basis. Now, 3% on an annualized basis means that for the past couple of quarters, we've had disinflation.
Mm.
Prices, not just have they risen more slowly, but they've actually had to come down in order to bring that annualized number down from a high of 9 to the current 3.
Well, if they look at that particular number, they will pause.
Well,
I would think
they'll declare victory, hold their breath and see what happens. But the more interesting number from my perspective as an investor, an investment advisor, is that the wholesale inflation number also came down to an annualized 3%.
Mm.
Now, that says that if you're in a manufacturing business or in a business that uses not services but uses raw materials, that you're looking ahead and saying, wow, the prices that we've had to pay for the goods that go into what we produce, the widgets that we make, that we can look ahead and say, gosh, the price increases that we've done over the past, year and a half are sufficient to give us the ability to earn what we need to earn as we go forward. That is, I think, what's causing the big jump up in the markets that you're seeing over the past week or week and a half. The idea that corporations are going to say that as we go forward, we should be okay. Now, if you're an individual who's looking for prices to come down from where they were, then you're looking at industry by industry, company by company. Greed isn't dead. It's not necessarily good, but it's not dead. And there are certain industry segments, such as rentals, housing, and also to a certain extent, we're seeing an unsustainable price range, I think, in fuel prices, in gasoline prices, because the price for crude is, you know, about where it should be. It's in the $60 to $70 range. And at that rate, our price for fuel should be where it was prior to the pandemic.
Why but isn't it?
Well, so 80% and I'm a little off on this statistic, but 80% of dealers are independents. That is, they are not controlled by the
big companies.
By the big companies. And so they get to set their own prices.
They buy product from the big companies, but they are not controlled, and they set their own price.
And they set their own prices. And as long as they can get away with higher prices, they'll keep trying. Mm-hmm. You know, when the guy across the street lowers their price, then they have to lower the price. So these prices become very much, you know, kind of macro climates, if you will, like your house in the storm.
Yes.
And so fuel is, depending upon where you go, is either a little higher than it was or maybe even a lot higher than it was, but very hard to justify in terms of the price of crude oil. And so what we're seeing is continuing downward pressure on all of this stuff. Eggs are back down. You know, most of the food we buy is not back where it was a year and a half ago. But you can see it, you know, in your weekly grocery bill, that prices are coming down. You know, the lime's two for a dollar. You know, it's back where it was back when. So what we're seeing is a very strong economy that, as Dr. Hammond said, and as most economists are now thinking, we're not going to go into recession this year. You know, Dr. Hammond was saying maybe not for a couple of years. You know, I'm not willing to go that limb.
Go that far out is a little chance.
There's so many things like a war in Europe that
continues, right?
Right. Yeah. And with Russia now pulling out of that grain deal, we have upward pressure on foodstuffs and the stuff that goes into foodstuffs. So. There's still a lot of headwinds that the economy needs to be weathering. That said, the Biden economy, which started off on the heels of a pandemic that took a tremendous hit last year, has now recovered fully to where it should have been had we not had the pandemic at all.
Yeah.
And, can I give Biden total credit for that? Of course not.
No.
But if it weren't there, we'd give him total blame. Mm-hmm. So let's give him some of the credit.
Mm-hmm. However, as you were talking about, wasn't it someone from the Heritage Foundation?
Oh, gosh.
Maybe I shouldn't bring that up.
Okay.
Wasn't it last week?
It was. It was last week we were talking about, part of that being the believability and the credibility of the data that is coming out of the various government agencies. What has since come to light, and if I'm crossing over from economics to politics, hit me in the arm or something.
I'll kick you under the
table. Kick me under the table.
Okay.
But what's come out is that the Heritage Foundation is very central to the plans that the Trump administration, if they were to come back into power, is having to really control what they consider to be the deep state,
kind of a redo or remake, if you will, of the federal bureaucracy.
Right. Yeah. So, from their perspective, perhaps this credibility issue fixes itself because they'll fix the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't make the numbers any better. It just simply says that if an agency is going to come up with a number that they don't agree with, they'll change it or fire the person who came up with the numbers. So what I said last week is if the Heritage Foundation has a serious, credible complaint that says that the numbers are being cooked at the top levels of those administrations, of the administration, then they ought to bring those charges and ask for an investigation. They haven't. And they won't.
We're approaching the bull market territory. Mm. And when were we last in the bull market? Do you recall? Has it been?
Well, the markets were considered in bull market territory as we moved into the pandemic.
That's what I thought.
And then the pandemic just put an end to that.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, when you're dealing, Bill, in an economic kind of paradigm that is being affected by something that is relatively unique, then it's tough to take a look at the statistics and say that there's anything typical about.
I think they call that kind of a black swan event.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
That's
pandemic.
That's a perfect, perfectly good way of, of describing it. So the markets climbed during the first half of the Trump administration, and then they kind of stopped climbing. And there were several reasons for that to happen. And then in the first year of the Biden administration, we began to see, you know, some upward movement, which then tanked as Biden was able to get the pandemic under control.
Right.
And so last year was not a good year for the markets, but we have now recovered almost all of that. So we've recovered where we needed to be in the markets, but the more important lines to track are where we said we would be before the pandemic hit. And we saw that, we heard that today from Dr. Hammond, and any number of economic reports coming out today, yesterday, and also last week to show what the forecasts had been, and that we're now, when it comes to employment, when it comes to unemployment, when it comes to consumer spending, and when it comes to consumer sentiment, that those lines are now crossed, and we are back where we should have been had the pandemic never occurred. And that's a big deal.
All right. Thank you, Shelley. I hope the rest of your week goes very well. Always a pleasure to see you. We'll see you next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday, Bill.
All right. Take a break right here. Hank Amos of Tucson Realty and Trust. More on our doing kind of an economic hour here on the Buckmaster Show. Be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, midway point on a Tuesday. It's only Tuesday. It actually feels like it ought to be almost the end of the week. It's been quite a week, at least up at the Buckmaster household, as we were kind of at the epicenter of the big storm. And the storm did hit Green Things as well over at 3384 East River Road on their 13-acre site. It hit the area, but the good news is, boy, are those plants happy right now to finally get some rain. So good time to go buy Green Things and put some color in your garden for the now monsoon season, summer rainy season. Green Things, 53 years of business, still going strong. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com, their sister business. Speaking of longevity, how about Tucson Realty and Trust, incorporated under the laws of the Territory of Arizona on December 22nd, 1911, and adopted that very famous, now famous, bull's eye as its logo. And the Amos family has been running the show ever since, really continuing the family tradition. George H. Amos III, known to his friends as Hank, took over the presidency of Tucson Realty and Trust in 1988. Hank is still the CEO of the Tucson Realty and Trust and its subsidiary, and Hank joins us now on our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Realty and Trust. How are you, Hank Amos?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thanks for having me on your show.
Well, always a pleasure. We try to check in with you at least twice a year, kind of get your mid-year assessment of how things are going, not only in your specialty area of commercial real estate, but of course you keep a very close eye on the residential market. How are we doing in that once red-hot residential market, Hank Amos?
Well, it's definitely cooled, and the reason why it's cooled is because of interest rates. So you can take a look at where we were last year at this time and where we are now. So last year at this time, we sold about $4.179 billion worth of residential real estate. This year, at the end of June, we sold $3.269 billion, about $900 million less. So it's a 21.76% decrease in sales. And that's a big decrease in sales. And what's happened mainly is it's 100% attributable to mainly two things, but interest rates. So the affordability of houses got so high that it made it really tough to afford homes. And we look at that too, where prices, I remember, well, prices back in 2021, the average sales price was $364,000. Now the average sales price is $418,000. So the prices have definitely gone up. But when prices were going up and they were getting high, interest rates were still around 3%, give or take, right? Mm-hmm. So it was affordable for people to buy because, yeah, it went up, but but the financing was so cheap. And that's what helped drive those prices up because everybody can afford. Well, now the prices are up and interest rates are around 6.5%, you know, creeping towards 7%. And so what's happened now in our marketplace is a couple things. One is the first-time home buyer can't afford to buy a home anymore. A, the prices are too high, and B, the interest rates went too high too as well. So they're out of the market. And then you have the middle income, they're called the blue-collar workers, whatever you want, and they can't really afford it anymore too because the prices are too high and interest rates have gone up. And we couple that with inflation, where inflation's come in, everything costs more, food costs more, gas costs more. They make a little bit more money, but inflation's taking their real dollar. Take-home pay is reducing that. So it's really tough for the first-time home buyers and the middle class to purchase a home right now. So what's left is the luxury market. In that market, the demographics, they have ability, more disposable income. And so it doesn't mean as much to them where, you know, where the prices, because they can afford $1 million, $1.5 million, $2 million home, right? And a lot of times they're paying cash. So the interest rate fluctuations for them isn't as great. And though that market has softened a little bit, it's still doing pretty well. So one of the things to tell what's kind of going on in the marketplace is that last year at this time, days on market, if you put your house on the market, it was 20 days. Now it's 44. So it's doubled. Mm. And that number needs to get up there a little bit higher because we still have a 2-month supply of homes, which is considered low. So when something does come up and it's priced right and it's a nice home, it will sell. It will sell. But we're not at the point where the economy is so bad and that things won't sell. So once the inventory, if it's taking longer to on days on market, then it's going to take longer. The inventory is going to go up a little bit as far as how many homes we have in the marketplace. And when that inventory goes up and the days on market goes up, people are going to start adjusting the prices of their home and it'll start driving that price down. But one thing has to happen. Either interest rates have to go down or the price of homes have to go down because right now they're just too high in both areas.
Okay, so if you cannot afford, first-time home buyer can't afford a place, they're going to continue to rent. They're going to be in an apartment, and the so-called blue-collar or a worker who would like to get in a home still can't afford it, they're going to stay in rents. So how does that affect one of the areas you track, the apartment scene and rentals?
So that's true. If you can't, you're going to rent. But they're not the only ones that are renting out there. So what's happened, let's say in multifamily, right? So we before, in the past 10 years, we always talked about the fact that multifamily was the king of commercial real estate, right? Mm-hmm. They were just killing it. But right now what's happened is the vacancy rate went up 1.1%. So now it's up to 8.5%. That's the highest vacancy rate in all the sectors that we cover right now. And what's happening is the average rental rate is now $1,100. You're paying over $1,100 to rent an apartment in Tucson, right? Mm-hmm. That's still 40% lower than Phoenix, and Phoenix is 40% higher, but that's still a lot of money. So now what's happened is all those folks, the rental rates have gone up dramatically, food prices have gone up, gas has gone up. And some people are saying, I don't know if I want to sign a 12-month lease or whatever, because I don't know what the economy is going to do. Nobody knows what's going to happen right there. And so that market is not as robust as it was. You'd think it'd be, you know, not that everybody's buying homes, but people aren't. So some people are, hey, I'm going to move back with mom and dad for a little bit, right? Or let's go with the friends and we're going to shack up and we're all going to combine into one place. So the vacancy rate has gone up. And the good news is that because of that, the rental rates, which were going up dramatically, I mean, in 2021, they were going up 18%, 18%. Mm. Now they only went up 1.7% this year so far. So it's not the rental rate. The good news is those rental rates are not going up like they were before. It was just out of control.
Are people leasing? Is that slowing down as well, the leasing?
The leasing of what, office or retail?
Well, I'm looking at office and retail. I suppose maybe we should get into that after we take a break. But a few more words on the apartment. Are we 1,100 or whatever you mentioned, around 1,100, seems on a regional level, you mentioned Phoenix 40% higher. It's still kind of a bargain nationally, that kind of a rent, isn't it, Hank Amos?
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, my daughter lives in New York City, and I mean, she's paying $5,000.
Yeah.
But now you get the income, right? I mean, your salary, it just costs so much more. But yeah, if you compare it to other major markets like San Francisco or LA, I mean, we're a bargain, but still, I mean, it's not like everybody in Tucson has this huge, you know, salary that they're taking. So it was $1,100. It wasn't that long ago that it was $800, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And now it's significantly more. And you combine that with the cost of food, the cost of gas, buying a new car.
That's tough.
New cars are outrageously expensive. Yeah. It's making it pretty tough. And the income levels just haven't gone up as much maybe as other parts of the country.
All right, let's take a break right here because we've got a lot more with Hank Amos from Tucson Realty and Trust. Going to talk about go now beyond the apartment and look at some of the other sectors he covers regarding commercial real estate. Be right back with Hank Amos after this.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
This is Kate Delaney. Join me tonight for a conversation about what's happening in the world that affects you. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Be a good time to get away to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, where I guarantee it will be cooler. Usually about 10 degrees cooler over in Silver City, as we've been hitting 112, 113. Look at that, 97. So mid to upper 90s in Silver City. Check out their website, southwestnewmexico.org, for more information about what to do. And there's some great hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, where to stay, some really nice places to stay, and great places to dine as well in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson. We continue our conversation with Hank Amos, the Tucson Realty and Trust CEO, president and CEO. So, Hank, we were getting into, we covered the residential, we covered apartments. What about industrial now with distribution and warehouse space? How are we doing in that particular sector that you cover?
Well, it's the new hot market right now. So we talked about multifamily. That was the hottest real estate, commercial real estate segment for the past 10 years. And the reason why it got surpassed by industrial is, you know, their sales activity in multifamily was just off the charts. But this year, so far, they've only sold about $50 million worth of real estate. It's the lowest number in a six-month period in the past 10 years. So the market has really fallen. It all has to deal with interest rates. You can't make the high prices with the high interest rates. It's really hard to make these investment deals work. So multifamily is out, and it's unbelievable. It's just a handful of sales the past 6 months, considered the activity that's been going on the previous years. But the new king is now industrial, and you hit it on the head, and that's because of logistics. And the logistics are due to distribution and warehousing space. So you think about Amazon, you think about everything that needs to be stored, everything has to be logistics. You have the nearshoring that's occurring. That is really driving the market. And so our vacancy rate now is 3.4%. So remember, we've been doing this for years and years and years, and industrial was always the worst.
I know.
And it was 12.4%. In 2012. So because the vacancy has gotten so compressed, right, supply and demand, now the rental rate growth went up 6%, which at one point it was 7%. So it's tapered off just a little bit, but it's 6%, significantly higher than the other asset classes. Still below the national average of 8.5%, but the rental rate growth has gone pretty high. It's about $10.60 a square foot. But you compare that to California, call it Southern California, they're paying in excess of $18 per square foot.
Wow.
So I think we're going to continue. Wow is right. So you're going to continue to see manufacturers, distribution, whatever, moving from California to, you know, Arizona, Phoenix and Tucson to a degree, because of the fact that our rates are still considerably lower than some of our peer cities. So, industrial is just killing it, and I don't see rental rates will probably come down a little bit, or rental rate growth won't be as fast as it has been. But until we get more in the pipeline, and we haven't been overdeveloped, but we've got about 1.8 million square feet, which is mild compared to the rest of the country when they put an ad on new space. But that's going to help maybe alleviate some of the pain to a degree. Because, again, the new space is going to be very expensive because of the cost of construction and the interest rates that are paying for the construction loan and all. So industrial is just on fire. It's a very strong market.
Now, on the other end, not a strong market. During the pandemic, it seemed like everybody was working at home. So office space now is available everywhere, it seems, Hank Amos.
Yes, it is. And office is still struggling. I would say they're treading water. The vacancy rate is 9.6%. Pre-COVID, it was 7.1%. The rental rate growth, they did have rental rate growth of 2.3%. So what's interesting and maybe a plus for Tucson is the fact that because we didn't have so much supply of office, you have too much supply, people have to, you know, give concessions and reduce their prices to get tenants. So because we didn't have a lot of supply, rental rates were able to hold its own during the pandemic, and not many communities were able to say that. So we were able to hold our own, and we've been able to have a little bit of rent growth, but nothing great. And it's all due to the fact to a couple things. One is it's employers trying to evaluate their space needs as they navigate the post-pandemic work configurations. You know, who's going to work at home? Who's coming to work? How am I going to make this happen? Do I make everybody come back to work? I think they would like to, but it's going to be tough. And they're trying to figure that, all of that out. But as people are renewing their leases, they're not taking as much square footage as they used to. But also, there's all this been talk about this recession. Is there going to be a recession? Is it going to be severe? And so people are hesitant about locking themselves into a new 5-year lease that might be too much space, because of the workers or the fact that we could be going into a recession and I might not be making as much. So definitely headwinds in the office market. Eastside has the highest vacancy. Downtown Tucson, though, has been on fire. They put 40,000 square feet in the last 6 months down there. And that's because of the revitalization of downtown and living in an urban area. There you have everything there. You can walk around and work and live and play there. Downtown's made a big comeback.
All right, let's talk about the all-important retail area. Still a lot of retail space available, Hank Amos?
There's still a lot of retail space available. The vacancy rate's 5.6. That's not that bad. The rental rate growth was about 2.8%. It's 3.6% nationally, if you want to take a look at it that way. You know, one of the good things about retail for Tucson is that Tucson had cumulative their population growth over the last 3 years cumulatively is 1.9%. So it's more than doubled the U.S. average, which was, you know, 0.9%, right? Mm-hmm. So we've had good growth here. Our demographics are pretty good. We've had good companies that have come into Tucson, you know, in the last few years. You talk about Geico, Comcast, ADP, Raytheon's added on jobs. And that's helped brought people and brought our employment up a little bit. So people are spending. They still got some. They still receive some of that PPP money, and they haven't spent all of it yet. But retail's been doing okay, not great. Now, they had modest leases done last year. The first few months of this year, it was on fire. It's tapered off a little bit. Some of that's due to the summer. But I think both in office and in retail, we've seen a little bit of a slowdown. And I think that has to do with just the general economy to a degree. So we're starting to see a little bit of slowdown.
All right, let me ask you something. It's been so darn hot here that it's been hard for me to do my daily walk. So about a week ago, I went to one of our malls. I won't mention which one, but very well-known mall. And I hadn't been in a mall in a while, let's put it this way. And I was so surprised. I shouldn't be surprised, but there were a lot of empty storefronts in the mall. What is going to happen to our malls, Hank Amos?
Well, I think what you have to do is we've seen some of the bigger players like Macy's and others kind of pull out, right? So you have to say, okay, what am I going to do? So in some cases, if the mall space is big enough, they're converting it to self-storage, and you're seeing some of that. In other cases, there might be a residential component that's put in there. But the whole mall structure is kind of getting turned around a little bit. Like at Park Mall, there was Sears, right? And they took that space and they've made it into an entertainment where kids can kind of hang out and mm-hmm. play video games and all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. So they're rethinking and repurposing that space and getting creative. They're pickleball courts across the country. Some are taking these big spaces and they're creating pickleball, you know, courts and where people can come and play pickleball. So they're really thinking outside the box. You're probably going to see a combination of all of that happen to a degree.
All right. And your summary here, I've only got about a minute. Give us your whole overview. How are we midway point in 2023?
Well, both from residential, you know, we were on fire pretty much last year. A cold, wet blanket has, you know, come across the residential market. It's still an individual market. So it depends upon your situation specifically, whether you're buying or selling or whatever. But from a macro sense, it's really slowed down dramatically. And from the commercial standpoint, sales have really slowed down dramatically, again, because of interest rates. And the prices are still pretty high. So it's tough to buy these properties and make them pencil at these interest rates when you borrow. So something's got to give. Either the prices are going to go down or the interest rates are going to go down. But sales have really slowed down across the board. I think industrial is going to continue to do well just because of the nearshoring that's happening and all. The rest of the markets, they're pretty well balanced, and we're going to be okay there. But there's going to be probably a little pullback a little bit in some of the interest, some of the rental rates, and the market's going to slow down a little bit. It just depends whether we go into a recession, soft landing, hard landing, whatever.
All right. Very good summary, Hank Amos from Tucson Realty and Trust. We've been doing this together for probably over, I don't know, almost 30 years. This was a very good summary. Not that they aren't all, but this was very good. Thank you, Hank.
Thank you for having me on. It's always a pleasure, Bill.
All right. Thanks a lot. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of John, my buddy on the other side of the glass, Bill Buckmaster, saying, hope everybody's well this afternoon.